did this study for Lent, and I fell in love with it because it truly changed my prayer life and the way that I prayed for my kids. The other thing I love about it, we're all parents, look how big this book is, guys. You can read this, and I kid you not, in one day. One day, y'all. I read it in a day. I'm not joking. So I love it because it's short, it's easy, it's full of so much good, and yet it was really powerful. And so since then, I have led the talk earlier this year at St. Paul's School, and then I'm excited to talk to you guys tonight. I wanted to get just a feel from you guys, just so I know kind of the ages of a lot of your kids. So how many, and of course you may have a span, but how many have like newbie, little bitty babies? Toddlers? Elementary? Okay. Middle school? And high school? Any older than high school? Okay. I'm not trying to. No, I just wanted to get an idea of, you know, where y'all are in your prayer life for your kids. So, all right, and I do, I love that you wanted a light note, because I use lots of little funny cartoons throughout this. And parenting's hard, guys. It's really hard. I'm only 8 years in, let me tell you. A lot of y'all have more years than I do. But what I want to say is that the bad news is we're going to make a lot of mistakes, right? Every single day we're going to make a lot of mistakes. Good news is our worst mistakes are going to become some of our biggest opportunities with our kids. So use those mistakes to be a model for your kids. Show them how to apologize. Ask for their forgiveness. I find myself often, especially with the little one, you need to apologize to your sister. Are you ready to apologize to your sister? You need to say, I'm sorry. How often am I asking for forgiveness and apologizing to them and showing them and modeling that behavior? And I have plenty of mistakes that I could be doing that with. Great news is prayer covers a multitude of sins. So we have one of the best, like, secret weapons at our hands, right? And we just have to use it. And sometimes I think we kind of forget to use prayer. Our kids are our biggest accomplishment, you know? So just don't forget. One of the things that Mark Batterson talks about, and I'm going to read it straight from here because I don't want to butcher the way he talks about it. I think it's beautiful. He talks about prayer genealogy. And I have never thought of prayer, your prayer life, this way until he laid it out this way. And so he explains that if you think about, I'll read verbatim and then we'll talk about it a little bit. One of the greatest moments in eternity will be the day God peels back the space-time curtain and unveils his sovereignty by connecting the divine dots between our prayers and his answers. If you were to map out your spiritual history, you would find out countless answers to prayer at key intersections along the way. Before you were even born, even named, many of you had parents and grandparents who prayed for you at critical ages and stages. Family and friends interceded on your behalf. And thousands of complete strangers have prayed for you in ways you weren't even aware of. When God finally reveals his strange and mysterious ways, it will drop us to our knees in worship. We will thank him for the prayers he did answer, and we'll also thank him for the prayers he did not answer, because we'll finally understand why. And we'll thank him for the answered prayers we weren't even aware of. And I had never really thought about my prayer life kind of lined up that way. I don't know. Does that make sense to you guys? Does that give you kind of a good visual? So think of like when you see an accident on the road, right? And you see somebody, like a car accident, and you just like lift a quick prayer up for the firefighters, the policemen, the person in the accident, the person that you're praying for, someone you don't know. When you walk on the street and you see someone homeless on the corner, and you lift them up in prayer really quickly. People are doing that for you too. And you don't know. And I think that's a really beautiful way to look at prayer and a really incredible way to teach our kids to pray. Let's see. It's one of our highest privileges as parents. So the 10 most important minutes of our day. Time's a finite resource, right? I think no matter, we can argue about a lot of things, right? But I think everyone in the room, no matter what, would agree that the day is not long enough. We would all agree we could use one more hour, two more hours. There's never enough time, right? We're all really busy. Because we're busy, we have to prioritize what we want to spend our time doing. So for you, it might be work. It might be volunteering. It might be being here tonight, and that's where you guys are. But you have to prioritize because it doesn't feel like there's enough time in the day. So one of the things he really focuses on is saying, our kids, think how much you love your kids. So you can find 10 minutes every single day to have a daily touch point with them, right? And one of the things he says that I love is, because you love your children so much more than anybody else you'll interact with that day. I was like, huh, that's true, right? So think of your business meetings, when you go, all of these things that you make time to do, and you're at the gym, and you're doing all these, it's like, I love my kids more than any of that, those other people that I'm interacting with all day and making time for. It's like, I can find a few minutes to sit down and pray with them and spend time in the Word with them. And that's really, really important. Some of these daily touch points are going to turn into a turning point for them. You may not know, you may know, but you may not know. You have to find the time that works best for your family. So it could be on the way to school. You could use that time in the car with your child on the way to school to have some prayer time, you know? Teaching them that doesn't have to be like when you are tucked into bed, right? He chooses in the morning. So he says when we sit down for breakfast before school, that's we open up the Bible and pray together. Personally, our mornings don't look like that. So that is not, we do the nighttime routine. That's sort of our rhythm in our household. And guys, I'll be honest with you, I have to dig deep some nights. I'm tired. And at 7:30, I'm kind of doing the happy dance that it's almost bedtime. And that the older one gets to do her reading. And that the little one is ready to go down. But this 10 minutes is really important. And I have to remember that I'm investing that time in them. And praying with them is really, really important. I'll show you guys. This is one of my other little favorite cartoons that I stumbled across because this is so me. When the kids are finally down, that laundry list of 8,000 things you have to do. I'm like, yes, I can do like, oh, I've got the laundry and I can empty the dishwasher and I can, oh, a meal plan. I'm going to meal plan for the whole rest of the week. And I'm like watching a show. I'm like, I don't really want to do any of this. I just want to sit here and not do it. So. All right, so becoming a praying parent. So you're going to become a praying parent by design, desire, and discipline. And to circle your children in prayer, we are going to help shape their destinies. And so we're going to walk through these circles together tonight. I hope that walking through these, you leave tonight with just a few tools and that it really does kind of help shape and change your prayer life with your kids. And just keep remembering, one of the things that really stuck with me with this study is that your prayers are one of the greatest legacies you can leave your kids. And if you think about it, anything you lift up to Him, right, that's going to live on beyond you. So think of all the prayers. If you start praying now about them finding the right partner in life, the right occupation, the right, all of those things, even if you're gone tomorrow, if you're gone 5 years from now, you've already been praying about that. So that legacy is something you're laying groundwork for now and helping to shape their destiny. It's, you know, pretty powerful when you look at it that way. All right. So this used to work. We have to kind of do a little bit of a, we're going to jump over to YouTube. I think it was a licensing issue, so. But I found it. So give me 2 seconds. All right, so what does it mean to pray circles? Can you all hear okay back there?
Every book has a backstory. There's a moment when an idea is conceived in the imagination of an author, and that idea is destined to become a book. So before I tell you the story of the Circle Maker, let me tell you the backstory. Up until my senior year of college, I'd only read a dozen books not assigned by a teacher. Most of them were sports biographies with lots of pictures and stats. I just wasn't a reader. And then during my senior year of college, I was on a road trip, and I picked up an 800-page biography of Albert Einstein. I fell in love with reading. Since then, I've read thousands of books. In fact, I'm running out of bookshelves. But I have one shelf with a few dozen of my favorites. One of them is titled Book of Legends. It's a collection of stories from the Jewish Talmud, and it contains the teachings of Jewish rabbis passed down from generation to generation. Because it contains more than a millennium worth of wisdom, reading the Book of Legends feels like an archaeological dig. Well, I dug down about 202 pages when I unearthed what may as well have been a buried treasure. It was the legend of Honi the Circle Maker, and it forever changed the way that I pray. It gave me a new vocabulary, a new methodology. Well, it was the first century B.C., and a devastating drought threatened to destroy the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were a distant memory, and it seemed like God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an old sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi, and even if the people could not hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, the people pleaded with Honi to pray for a miracle. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. When he was done turning, Honi stood inside the circle that he had drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. He said, "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children." The word sent a shudder down the spine of all who were within earshot that day. And then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. The people rejoiced over each raindrop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. He lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration. "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns." The sprinkle turned into such a torrential downpour that the people had to flee to the Temple Mount. But Honi still wasn't satisfied. "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of thy favor, blessing, and graciousness." Well, the downpour turned into a perfectly proportioned sun shower. Each raindrop, a tangible token of God's grace. Honi was almost excommunicated for his prayer because some members of the Sanhedrin believed that it was too bold. Listen, God is not offended by our bold prayers. He's offended by anything less. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. And eventually, Honi was honored for the prayer that saved a generation. It was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle that he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. Remember the promise God had given to Moses and then transferred to Joshua? "I will give you everywhere you set your foot." Well, the Israelites crossed the Jordan River and approached the ancient city of Jericho. It had to be both awe-inspiring and frightening. While wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they had never seen anything approximating the skyline of Jericho. The closer they got, the smaller they felt. I think they finally understood why the generation before them felt like grasshoppers and failed to enter Well, a 6-foot wide lower wall and a 50-foot high upper wall encircled that ancient metropolis. The mud brick walls were so thick and so tall that the 12-acre city appeared to be an impregnable fortress. It seemed like God had promised something impossible, and his battle plan seemed nonsensical. In Joshua 6:3, it says, "Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're to march around the city 7 times. The soldiers must have wondered why. You know, why not use a battering ram? Why not scale the walls? Why not cut off the water supply or shoot flaming arrows over the walls? Instead, God told the Israelite army to silently circle the city. On the seventh day, they arose before dawn, and they circled the city 7 times. Then 600,000 Israelites raised a holy roar that registered on the Richter scale, and the walls came tumbling down. After 7 days of circling Jericho, God had delivered on a 400-year-old promise. He proved, once again, that his promises and our prayers don't have expiration dates. Jericho stands and falls as a testament to this simple truth. If you keep circling the promise, God will ultimately deliver on it.
Right. Okay. All right. So I hope that explains where that idea was born from for him. So he has written other books, and I saw them up here earlier, Circle Maker being the very first one. And then there are a bunch of spinoffs that he's written since then. Again, this one's the best one because it's easy and quick to read and so good. So one of the things that he talks about that's really important as a parent is to form a prayer circle with other parents. And the reason for that is, and I'm again going to quote him here so that I don't mess up his verbiage, covenant to pray for each other's children. Why parents? Because no one can pray for children like parents. They have similar heartbreaks, similar hopes. They love their children just like you love yours. We need to stand in the gap for one another, or maybe I should say kneel in the gap. And so that's what you're doing here tonight. And you can be a smaller prayer group, you can be a bigger prayer group, but it's important to align yourself with other parents so that, because just like you said, you have the same hopes and dreams for your kids. You share the same tragedies, some heartaches, and you relate to one another in that way. So praying circles, as he mentioned with Honi, I was convicted when I kind of pulled my notes back out. It's praying really intensely and tenaciously. And I thought about when I first did this study a couple years ago, my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and he's still battling it. And I thought, just like any battle we go through, in the beginning you pray really intensely, right? And then as time passes, you're still praying, but are you praying with that same tenacity? Are you standing in the circle, not moving, and saying, I'm not moving here. I'm standing in the circle, and I'm not leaving. How tenacious are you? And it was when I watched the video again, and I was reading my notes, and I was like, man, sometimes I just kind of like check it off, like, okay, I lifted that person up, okay, No, we really have to pray with such, you have to be intense and purposeful and not just make a checklist, I think, is one of the things that we'll walk through tonight. This was one of my favorites. He talks about, has anyone heard ALAT? A-L-A-T? I had not until this study, instead of ASAP. So in a world built around instant gratification, we take pictures and see them instantly. We take videos and show our kids instantly. Anyone a Prime member? Me? I order something and it shows up sometimes 1 day later, 2 days later. Curbside groceries. I can order groceries from my couch and go pick them up. So our world is starting to be built around the convenience of a consumer. In a lot of ways, that's great, right? In a lot of ways, that's really scary. And especially when it comes to prayer, because prayer doesn't work that way. So he says, you need to pray as long as it takes, and that's what the ALAT is, not as soon as possible. And I really like that. That stuck with me. So I was like, oh, that's true. It needs to be on his time. It's not on our time. So I need to pray that prayer over and over and over. I may never see an answer. Or it may be answered, and I just don't know that it's being answered in that way, right? But I need to continue to pray as long as it's going to take, not necessarily just so that I get an answer and move on and check it off my list. Let's see. So we talked a little bit earlier about how prayer is our secret weapon. So here are the five circles. We are going to kind of walk through all of them. I will probably highlight a couple a little more in detail, but I want you guys to walk away tonight at least having a sense of what they are. I would encourage you to, as you learn about them, I hope tonight you just pick one. I'm an overachiever type A. You pick two if you really want to. But I would say just pick one and focus on that and really get good at that and make it to where it's second nature. Make it to where it's that's how you pray. And then move on to maybe trying to focus on a second one. Otherwise, it's a lot because it's a very different way of praying than you're probably used to praying. So the first circle is to circle the promises of God. The second is to make prayer lists. Third, to create prayer mantras. The fourth, to form prayer circles. And the fifth, praying through the Bible. So, and don't give up and don't get discouraged. Where we fail, he will succeed. Half the time I act like I know what I'm doing, I really don't. That's okay. So, all right. We have lots of jobs, guys. And I just put a tiny list here. We wear so many hats every single day. I don't know if I left off some. I'm sure some of you off the top of your head are thinking, oh, and I do this, 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 and this. This is what I'm an expert lovey finder. My youngest has a lammy. Sometimes she goes by lammy. Sometimes it's lamb lamb. And bedtime is not fun if lammy's missing. And so half the time when we do the loop through the house, guys, we're in a ranch-style home over in Meyerland. It's 2,000 square feet. It's not really that big. And she usually doesn't hide her. Most of the time, she's, like, on the ground or on a counter. So, and every time, I'm like, did you find her? It's time to crawl into bed. She's like, no, I can't find her. It's this whole thing. And sure enough, I'll do, like, one quick, she's right here. Like, just on my first pass through, you know. So, I love this. Because, like, this is so how it works. So we have lots of jobs, right? And one of the things he talks about, which I think is really important, is while we wear lots of hats and have lots of jobs, our single most important job as parents is to be students of our children. And I'd never really thought about that before. But we know them better than they know themselves. So we are not only their prophets helping to shape their destinies with our prayers, but we're their historians. They don't remember their first few years, and we can't forget them. But we're not only helping them connect who they were when they were little, who they are today, but who they're going to become. And so as we're studying them and as we're praying for them, that is when we have to know Scripture so that when they have a problem or when they need to be lifted up in prayer, we are able to turn to the Bible, turn to Scripture, and pray with them using the Bible. I stumbled across this list, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And we keep one up where I can see it and where my girls can see it, my husband can see it. And I'm going to pass it out so that you guys can take one home. And that you can probably take a couple home if you want your kids to have one too. But this is 12 powerful verses to pray and pour over your children. And I love it because what they've done is taken, you know, courage. So if your child's having, like, a moment and they're feeling really nervous about something at school, you can say, hey, let's say a prayer together. We're going to read this Joshua verse, and then we're going to pray. And so it gives you kind of all these different things, like joy. It can be a happy prayer too, right? It doesn't have to always be turning to, you know, something scary. Wisdom, when they're needing wisdom about a, you know, situation that's going on, and when they turn to you and need something. Love, compassion. And so the more we know the word and the more we're in the word and the more we can refer to the word, the more they will know and stay in the word. I think it's really important. So I'm going to pass these. I'll just pass these down. I hope you will just post that up and, like I said, refer to that. So use scripture as your guide. Because those are the promises of God. So the second circle, again, I'm type A. I love a list. I love lots of lists. So this one, of course, speaks to me. Creating prayer lists. And it's really important that we teach our kids that to pray is not making a laundry list of all the things we want, right? This is not a Christmas list. This is not, you know, where we're saying, all right, Lord, here's all the things that I want. And it's not a checklist. It's about discovering what is God's agenda for me, and teaching them that early. You can make these lists. It can be in many, many forms. So the ones that he sort of highlights, if you will, a prayer journal or a journaling Bible. Does anyone have a prayer journal or journaling Bible? The journaling Bibles are really beautiful, too, now. A lot of times they'll, like, one page will be blank, so that you can take notes on one side while you read through the other, or the margins will have either ruled lines or empty space for you to highlight and take notes. And he talks about in his book how special it would be for your kids to, as you're highlighting or making notes in that Bible, you know, and making a little note about your kids, as they refer to that Bible later in life, they'd say, wow, look, Mom prayed for me over this verse way back when, and like wrote a little note about me there. So writing in your Bible or to a journal would be really special. There's a prayer poster, and he talks about finding attributes and spiritual gifts and creating a poster for your kids that they can hang in their room and always refer to. A prayer book, similar to a journal. You can reach out to family and friends, have them write prayers for the for your children and combine them. And they have apps now. So I have used an app which has been really helpful because you can even set reminders throughout the day to help kind of nudge you to say a prayer. So if you know someone having surgery, for example, that's when I've used it most often, is, you know, if I know someone's having surgery at whatever time in the morning, I'll just, like, nudge me, like, hey, don't forget, this is about to happen this morning. So lots of ways to create these prayer lists. Have y'all ever heard of the PRAY acronym? P-R-A-Y. That I've taught both my girls. The youngest one, it's still a little bit, we've simplified it a little bit. The 8-year-old is getting it. Because I think prayers often do become sort of a list of, dear God, please help me with, a lot of times. Pray, I learned this, man, this was a long time ago. So I don't know where it originated from. It is not mine. But the P stands for praise. So anytime you pray, you start with praise. The R stands for repent. So then you repent, anything you need to repent. The A stands for ask. So that is when you ask. And then the Y stands for yield. And then, so you have to yield and let. This is in God's will and in God's time. So if you're struggling, depending on the age of your child, that was one of the acronyms that I found really easy to remember. And really simple to help kids kind of understand, like, oh, starting out with, how about praise? How about thank you, Lord? Instead of all of the things that they're wanting or needing. And that's a good reminder for us, too, right? Sometimes it's kind of hard. It's easy to just jump in and be like, oh, my goodness, Lord, I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z. It's like, wait, okay, let's take a deep breath and start where I need to really be starting with this. Okay, so the third circle, creating prayer mantras. I loved this. I had never really heard of a prayer mantra before. We do have one in our household, and I didn't really realize that's what it was. Does anyone have like a family mantra that they use, like a little like slogan or tagline or something that you say with your kids every night before bed or as they get off, like out of the car to go off to school? So he talks about, as you're in the Word, look for phrases, keywords, attributes, things that you keep seeing and circling back to, and eventually those are going to become your prayer mantras. And eventually you want to find a verse that you're going to pray over your child, and that you want them to know what that verse is. I found one for my oldest. I have not shared it with her yet, because I'm not 100%, I'm like 85% sure that that's what I want like her verse to be. And we're talking like this is what you want it to be for the rest of their life. So this is a big, you really want to pray about this and spend time thinking about what you want it to be. So just get in the Bible and really think about it. And I think he reveals to you in time what that special verse would be. As for the mantra, years ago, a friend shared with us that she said something to her daughter every night before bed. And my girls, the oldest one especially, was like, I really like that. Can we do that? I was like, sure. I'm going to have to come up with something. So it morphed over time. It's now been set for a while. But what we always say, and I say it to both of them, and if I forget, they remind me. And they call it Shine Bright. That's the last two words we say. But I tell them both, and I do it separately, and it's literally the last words out of our mouths. I'll say, I want you to have a kind heart, a fierce mind, a brave spirit, a strong faith, and to shine bright. And for me, that sort of encompassed all the things I want these little humans to become. I want you to have all of those things. And the 8-year-old now, which of course the 4-year-old followed suit, completes the sentence or the phrase. So now I'll say, I want you to have a kind, and she'll say heart. And then I'll say fierce, and she says mind. And he talks about, and I think this is so true, repeating them these mantras over and over gets them from head to heart. And they become second nature and like who you are. And I'm seeing that. And I love that, like, Shine Bright now. And I know like a lot of the moms, I'm sure, have seen it on like t-shirts a lot. And I feel like it's a very catchy thing, right? I want it to mean she's full of God's love and is shining bright in the world. But find that she sees it on a shirt in Target. Okay? But I love that she'll say, Mom, look what it says, Shine Bright. It says it. Because that then it makes her think, like, that's what we say every night. And then she thinks of all the things we say. So this was one of those that kind of, I never thought we would have maybe come up with this little mantra, but I think it's a really special thing to do. So I would encourage you to pray about that. And like I said, look for those attributes and those words in the Bible that stand out to you that you want to use with your kids, because I think it's really, it's one of the really neat circles that can make a big impact. All right, fourth circle. Okay, so forming prayer circles. We talked a little bit about this, so praying with versus praying for. And you're never, one of the things that I think is so interesting, you're never too old or too young to be used by God. And he talks about the next time that you're in spiritual desperation, ask your kids to pray for you. And their faith hasn't been tainted by logic yet. And it's kind of you don't really think of it that way, but it's true in so many ways. And so I really liked that. And I thought, you know, if you have something coming up at work or you have a really big presentation, just tell them, like, hey, you know what? I have this big thing coming up at work on Thursday, and I'm really nervous about it. Will you pray with me? Let them pray for you and let them, you know, I mean, A, their prayers are sweet and innocent and beautiful, and B, you're teaching them that they have the power to pray too. It's really important. So give them those opportunities to exercise their spiritual gifts. The other thing I love about this, the prayer circles, is that in today's world, I think technology, a lot of it can be really scary, but you can also use some of it for good. And so I have a text group on my phone, and it's literally called Prayer Warriors, and it's for women, And one of them doesn't even live in this state. And she used to live here and she moved away. But they are four women that I know, no matter what, if I say, oh my goodness, ladies, this is what's going on. Can you please just lift this up in prayer? They're not going to do that cliche like, I'm praying for you. Or, oh yes, I'll pray for you. Because I feel like that's said a lot. Not really much behind it. They will stop what they're doing and they will pray. And I can count on it. And they can count on me to do the same. And so finding that group, it could be two or three people. It can be a group of 10 people. But finding a prayer circle is really important. Because as you walk through life and walk through this thing called parenting, prayer is going to be something that's going to get us through it. So. The other thing that he talks about when we're talking about allowing our kids to exercise their own spiritual gifts is, does anybody remember that, I think it was a Subaru commercial, the little girl in the driver's seat of the car, and the dad's like, you know, do this and don't do that, and she's little, and she's like, okay, dad, and she's really a teenager. It made me think of this. He talks a lot about how are children ever going to get anywhere if we don't ever actually put them in the driver's seat, right? So if we're always praying for them and over them and just like doing all the praying, but never actually letting them like pray with us and asking them, hey, will you pray for me? Then they're not going to learn how to pray. So they're going to graduate college and go away and be like, oh, I mean, I guess we pray before we eat. I don't know, and before bed. True confession, guys, growing up, I grew up Methodist. The word method is in Methodist. I'm still Methodist. But I will tell you that until maybe the last like 10 or 15 years, that's what I thought. I thought you prayed before you ate, and I thought you prayed before bed, and like in a church. I did not realize you could just have these open conversations with God, and that you could just any time of day in the car turn the radio down and just like, okay, Lord, I'm really struggling today, or wow, thank you, Lord, for that really great meeting. I'm just so lucky to be surrounded by these people. Glory to you. Thank you for that. And that was never part of what I saw growing up. And that's really important to expose our kids to that now so that they know that going forward. So put them in the driver's seat. Let them see you pray. Let them pray for you so that they know how to do it early on. All right. And then the last circle, so praying through the Bible. I think this is incredible. I don't know, as type A as I am, my oldest has a baby book. And it's not even done. And the second one, it's like so true. And the rest of them don't ever have another baby book. He talks about buying a Bible for each child, highlighting scriptures in that, you know, writing prayers out in that Bible. But each kid having their own Bible that you pray through for the entire childhood. And then that can be a gift for them when they graduate high school or when they graduate college. And how incredible that would be. And I mean, I choked up reading his, you know, he talks about the gift that was given to this. It was one of his friend's sons that got this gift later in life. And I was like, oh, it's just so beautiful. Again, that takes commitment because that's, like I said, we don't have the baby book done. right? But I think it would be an incredible, if that is something that speaks to you, I think buying a Bible and praying through it and writing notes and just saying, you know, you brought home, you know, a spelling test day, and you were so proud to share it with me, and I was so excited. Like, think how when you're 18 to be able to flip back and read, like, wow, that's kind of cool. My mom wrote this little note, or look what my dad put on this day. That'd be pretty incredible. And let's see. The two of the other things, he talks about holy complications. So we don't know why God does what he does, but we do know that 100% of the prayers that we don't pray will go unanswered. And I like that because I think that's so true. And he talked about God's not offended by our bold prayers. And so to be bold when we pray. I had a couple of other fun little things I'm going to give you guys. Let me see if we can. So just remember the power of a single prayer, much like Honey. The one prayer can change anything and everything. And when you feel discouraged as a parent, remember to pray and turn to him and teach your kids to do the same. And when we leave tonight again, I pick one circle And make one change. And just, I hope that's what you leave with, is just saying, you know what, I really liked that prayer list, and I really want to start a, you know, prayer journal, and we're going to work together with, you know, our kids, and let's write down some prayers together. Or I really liked the prayer mantra, I'm really going to work on that. Or I'm going to buy that Bible and really start praying through it for each of my kids. Or, you know, whatever. Make sure you find that, the 10 minutes, as hard as that can be. He does say it should technically be 10 minutes per kid, because they all have, they, is there someone with, I know.
They have four.
I know, I know.
And like you have four children, so you have less time, not more time.
I know.
So like, double win.
We can split.
I know. No, it can be hard. The reason being, and it's the reason he explains that that time should be spent alone, is because you, that one-on-one time allows them to open up to you about things they may not share in a family setting. And so that's why it's important. I, under the table, I put a little deca, so like literally under the table. I didn't want you to have to crawl under your chair. There's an, two aces are taped just right under the table. So like, and then, so they will be, yeah, they'll be taped like right here. And I have two fun little, y'all see them? That's, okay, so you'll pick, so I just, these are two devotions that we use. There's another one out there. You have one too? Okay. So one of them, so this is, Jesus Calling is what we use with my older. And then this is Bedtime Prayers, which is what we use with, we used this for a really long time. Actually, we still use it with my younger one. Y'all can duke it out, or you can, I mean, whatever y'all want to do.
Choose first.
So.
Older.
Okay. And then you can give it as a gift. Do y'all have older kids, right?
Well, 7-year-old.
Okay. Well, then, that makes sense. There you go. Yeah.
Sure, that's the one you wanted?
That's, I would say, that's more of like a board. I don't know, how old is your youngest?
Four.
That, so that's good for four. You want to flip through both? You can flip through both, too. And then everybody, y'all can take it offline at the end of this.
We'll be taking it outside.
The other part of having a touch point, so because the kids are very, he talks about knowing your kids' like native tongue, right? So teenagers, texting is really big. And they might open up over text more than they would sitting at the dinner table with you. Little kids, young kids, physical touch is really big. So laying in bed, reading, they want to hug, they want to lay with you and read. They want that physical touch, that time. So depending on the ages of your kids, that is how I feel all the touching.
Yeah.
I have to like... Really? It can be hard. But knowing their love language and knowing what works. These are little lunchbox notes. And these are actually geared toward the end of school. So there are a couple of them that say, like, I think, looking forward to summer fun. And some fun little things like that. There are scripture-based ones. My favorite is this, do everything without complaining or arguing.
Those
are some good ones. So there should be enough for you all to take. They're separated by cardboard. But again, it's just having, that touch point can be this too. So keep in mind, especially when you've got four kids, right? It can be putting a note on their lunchbox and just letting them know, like, I love you, I'm thinking about you. Some of them are blank, so you can just write, like, I prayed for you this morning, like, hope your spelling test went really well, or hope math facts went great. So grab a little stack of these, and I hope that y'all will be able to, and like I said, there should be plenty to be able to go around. Is there any questions about prayer circles?
Yeah.
their name in here.
Around your children books that you can read in one day. So
all right. Is it MRG?
MRG?
There's
number one. There's still two. There's still two. Okay. There's still three. Also turns out you can get these on Amazon for like $3.
I may have already looked into
that. On your own.
Hold on. HS?
Upside down.
Oh, yes, they could be. Yes, it's
Heidi Slay.
Oh, let's be present.
Give it to Heidi. All right, and one more. Like your stuff's here? Are they left? They're that left. It's okay. It's good. Hang on.
K. Wade Carroll.
Christy!
Yay!
All
right. Yeah. I didn't want to write WCS.
That's it. Unless y'all have any questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Absolutely.
Lacey, would you mind praying over
all of us
and our littles and some that aren't as
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for just for being here, for your just all that you brought tonight. For allowing us to get here, Lord. We know it can be so hard sometimes, just as families and as parents. Thank you for just moving mountains sometimes to get us here so that we can just learn more about you and how to worship you and how to give you the glory, Lord. Thank you so much for just helping us learn about these tools so that we can just pray over these babies that we love so incredibly much. Help them to follow you and learn about you and love you, Lord, so that they will just grow into these amazing, 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 incredible adults that we know they will be, ones that follow you and that love you with their whole heart. Thank you again for just Dolores and her leadership of this group. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.